The number one resolution for people last year was to save more money, but nearly half gave up by February. Don't let that be you. Download Rocket Money to reach your financial goals this year. Track your spending, cut waste, and automate savings in one simple app. Rocket Money shows you all your expenses and categorizes them, so you know exactly where your money's going and where you're overspending. From there, the app cuts waste by canceling your unused subscriptions and lowering your bills. No customer service needed. With that money freed up, the app will automatically set some cash aside for your goals. Whether it's an emergency fund, paying off debt, or saving for vacation, Rocket Money's got you covered. Users love the app with over 186,000 five-star ratings. And on average, users can save up to $740 a year when using all the app's premium features. Make saving money a priority this year. Go to rocketmoney.com/cancel to get started. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. rocketmoney.com/cancel.
It's Brian Wilson and in for Larry O'Connor today is our friend Katie Pavlich. And we are stopping to remember the life and legacy of Phyllis Schlafly, who passed away yesterday at the age of 92. Amazingly, she was in the just finishing up a book, which launches today, called The Conservative Case for Donald Trump. And although she's not here to talk about the book, of course, we do have her co-author, Brent Decker, who is joining us. He is the co-author of The Case for Trump. Hello, Brent. How are you?
Hi, Brian and Katie. Thanks for having me on. As you can imagine, it's quite a bittersweet moment. We have this launch of the book we worked on over the summer, and then for Phyllis to pass away, I mean, really incredible, right, the day before. So, you know, we're kind of, we have mixed emotions today, as we want to honor her legacy, but then it's hard to get going to promote a work when your friend just didn't make it the day before the launch. It's really, really extraordinary timing when you think about it.
Well, our sympathies for the loss of your friend. She was a conservative icon, but I think we could honor her by talking about the things that she wanted to get across in this book. So what are the major points of this book?
You know, she had several points where that she wanted to address by doing this. And one is she just thinks the Republican establishment hasn't been getting it done. On the day she endorsed Donald Trump early this year, she was kind of ahead of she was sort of on the Trump train early. One of the points she made, she said, look, a lot of people in this party are tired of following losers. You know, she rattled off, Romney, McCain, who didn't really put on a good show, mentioned how W lost the popular vote. And she's like, look, the establishment isn't getting it done, so let's try something else. And then I think on the issues, what really resonated with her the last few years were these topics of nationalism and Americanism versus globalism, and are all these decisions being made about the economy really, you know, helping the average person, the average American worker? If you drive from D.C. to California and take the old highways, you know, you're going through some towns that are really hurting. So are all these changes in society, have they really been good for everybody? And if not, let's have a conversation about it.
So going into the election, what do you think that she wants the message to be? And what does she hope that Trump achieves in the next 2 months to make sure that he makes it into the White House?
Yeah, she was, up until the end recently, she was getting hopeful, especially as she was looking at the polls starting to change and Hillary starting to collapse. So she, like everybody, was hoping, Trump would kind of contain some of the exuberance and excesses and just show people that, you know, he can be presidential and make people more comfortable with supporting him. You know, I think that's what she was hoping. And then just kind of stick to this message that he's not only a candidate that people can vote for because he's not Hillary, but he's also running and embracing a conservative platform.
So what exactly, you know, we hear the argument about the establishment. Trump is obviously an outsider, but what specifically would she say about Trump should get people to vote for him, that he should be honored with their vote?
Yeah, you know, she sat down and she had lots of meetings with him, spent hours with him before she endorsed him. And the one thing they talked about, and she was comfortable with him, were on Supreme Court nominations. Mm-hmm. They talked a lot about it. She helped concoct that list of judges that he said he'd consider appointing for the Scalia slot. And it wasn't just Phyllis, you know, the Beckett Fund for Religious Liberty and the Judicial Action Network, these conservative groups that have been fighting judicial tyranny for years and years. They supported his position on Supreme Court nominees. So that was a really big issue for her.
Let's talk a little bit about her as an individual. You have been quoted as saying that along with Ronald Reagan and William F. Buckley, she was one of the chief architects of modern conservative. Just how influential was she in the conservative movement?
Well, I tell you, when I was in college in the 80s, I remember it was kind of lonely out there. And, you know, you looked at American Spectator and National Review are the few places we could get any information to go against sort of what was being spoon-fed you by professors. And she was one of those people who was out there speaking. She gave thousands and thousands of speeches on college campuses just telling people, you know, there's another way. There are traditions we have to preserve. And then she wrote this incredible number of books. And a lot of those made it into a lot of hands. I mean, her first book in 1964, supporting Barry Goldwater, was called A Choice, Not an Echo. And the point of that book was Republicans need to be more conservative and more populist if they're going to win in the future. That the Rocky Rockefeller liberal Republicans, she's just said, weren't going to do it. And that book alone sold 3 million copies. I mean, just an astounding number of books. So I think, you know, she was there at the beginning, and I think she was really one of those handful of people. One of the first people after Roe v. Wade in 1973 start really banging the drum, pushing for pro-life regulation and leading the March for Life and issues like that, and then, you know, fighting the ERA in the 70s. Betty Friedan, the arch feminist after after Phyllis helped knock down the ERA. Betty Friedan was so mad, she said, "I want to burn you at the stake."
Oh my!
So she was really this firebrand that really helped rally the conservative side, but also really got under the skin of her opponents, and I think that says a lot about her.
All right. Well, we're going to have to leave it right there. I know it must, as you said, be a bittersweet moment to have this book come out that you're so proud of, that you worked with Phyllis Schlafly on, but also to know that she's not going to be there to cross the goal line with you. Our condolences to you, Brett.
Thanks so much for having me on. It's just, you know, it's her legacy we're trying to push now.
All the best.
All right. Thank you, Brett. Appreciate it.